At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey everybody, it's your man Headcrack, and this is the Dish Nation Podcast, or Audio Boom. It's all the funny stuff for the TV show, but exclusively for your listening pleasure. Right here, we got the ATL team in the building. Clap it up one time. Yeah.
Hey y'all, it's Portia Williams, and we slay all day.
Hey, what up? This your boy, Ricky Smiley, man. Hey, welcome to Dish Nation, and we got jokes. That's right, S-E-K-O-J, spelled backwards.
Yo, yo, what up? It's your girl, the B-R-A-T-U-D.
And you got Gary with the tea here, baby, where everything is hot in my teapot.
Now that's it for ATL. Now over to LA. What up?
Thank you, Headcrack. I'm Frank Kramer, representing the Left Coast.
What's up, guys? It's Heidi Hamilton, and welcome to the Dish Nation party.
Now that's our team. Now on to what you've already been waiting for. What you really want. Your show. Here you go. Dish Nation. What's up, y'all? Welcome to Dish Nation. It's Black Friday.
Woo! Time to go shopping. Oh, my God.
Oh, this is probably the coolest free thing that's going to happen to you guys today. So make some room for us, because we got some heat for you today.
Yeah.
Now, later on, we're going to tell you which pop star once took a swing at Pink, and Oprah reveals the worst guest she's ever interviewed.
Ooh.
First, today is one of the biggest shopping days of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, Christmas is right around the corner, but I know two people who definitely won't be taking advantage of these great deals.
Ooh.
Even if it was a morning safe.
Ming Mill?
No, that's going to be Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Basically, they said they started a new tradition this season. No presents for the kids.
Yay!
That's not cool.
But here's how they break it down. They got two kids. They got a 3-year-old daughter named Wyatt and a 1-year-old son named Dimitri. And in a recent interview, Mila said that they're putting a stop to gift giving for now because they believe it does more harm than good. She said, last year when we celebrated Christmas, Wyatt was 2, and it was too much. We didn't give her anything. It was the grandparents. The kid no longer appreciates one gift. They don't even know what they're expecting. They're just expecting stuff.
That's right.
But they should not get nothing. Most kids know that when it's Christmas time, they get gifts.
Yeah, and it's really just about going in there, opening them up when you're around that age, 2 and 3. I love her logic of wanting to keep her kids, grounded and all of that. Yeah. But I think that may need to kick in around 10 and up.
And then they got to go around their cousins and different people and see that they got all these toys and they look deprived and their parents are rich. Are you kidding me?
But their cousins know they rich, their cousins know who their mom and dad
is. Right, and they'll get teased for getting the choo-choo train. No.
No.
They always want to spend the night at other people's house to play with their toys.
Ain't your daddy rich?
That's horrible.
Yo, they 3. They got the memories of goldfish. The kid's going to be all right. The 1-year-old ain't going to remember nothing.
At all.
Yeah, like they're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you've got those aged children, Headcracker.
You feel. I spoil the hell out of myself.
Yeah.
Stop. No. There's no way to reverse it. The damage is done.
Yeah.
The expectations is already high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they know it's Christmas time, they see the tree, it's supposed to be gifts everywhere.
It's like going on a date, having sex first, and then talking about dinner. Like,
yeah. Well, Uber Eats.
You can't go backwards. I like your style.
All right. Earlier this year, Daniel Day-Lewis announced that he will be retiring from acting. His last film, Phantom Thread, hits theaters this Christmas.
Oh, that's love Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
He is so sexy, and he can just get into them serious roles. Like, he will be missed.
Yes.
Aww. He will be missed.
Well, he's one of the greatest method actors of our time. Mm-hmm. So much that after working with him for 7 months, his leaking co-star, Sally Field, said she never met Daniel. She only met Abe.
Yeah.
And then he would even text her as if he was Lincoln.
Yeah.
Oh. See,
that's
where he let it slip, though, because Abe Lincoln wouldn't be texting.
Yeah.
What would he be doing?
Should have wrote her a letter.
Yeah, how do you text us, Abe Lincoln?
4 score 7 years ago.
Gonna hang no slaves today, Miss Sally.
Yeah, right. He had to be saying something.
Well, another big method actor is Jim Carrey. There's a new documentary out on Netflix called Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond, all about how he became Andy Kaufman for 1999's Men on the Moon. Jim said that he immersed himself so much in that role that it almost made him psychotic.
Wow.
Truth be told, that is my favorite Jim Carrey movie.
Really? What is it? I've never seen it.
He did such a good job of playing Andy
Kaufman.
I like
the Truman Show.
Truman Show is dope, but if you're like a big Andy Kaufman fan, because like Andy Kaufman was just such an ill dude psychologically, like just his whole approach to like acting and comedy, he really put himself in the role.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to check that one out.
Anyway, Christian Bale famously took his method acting to a whole new level when he dropped down to 120 pounds for The Machinist.
Oh, yeah, that was just insane. He got so gaunt and skinny. Mm.
Did he get an Oscar for that?
Nah.
That's awful. He should have gotten an Oscar for that. If you lose, if you could almost damn near die, they at least should give you an award.
Well, I feel the same way about 50 Cent.
Me too. 50 Cent should have got something.
They didn't get an Oscar, but they got respect.
Yeah, and we get to talk about him on Dish, so there you go.
Here's your flowers.
Yeah. All right, up next, the American Idol reboot on ABC is officially set to return this upcoming March. But can you believe it's been 15 years since Kelly Clarkson won her first American Idol?
That's really?
Wow. It
seems like it's been way shorter than that.
I know. That was must have been I was coming out of high school.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, not only has Kelly made headlines throughout the years for her record-breaking success, but she seemed to have always made headlines as her weight has fluctuated throughout the years as well. Well, in a recent interview with Attitude Magazine, she wants you to know she's happy in the skin that she's in now more than ever.
All right, girl.
Well, I mean, what good for her? You know, you got to love yourself first before you can love anybody else. And if you're happy, shoot, everybody else should be happy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you sure do. Now, she said that following the success of her second album, she was under enormous pressure to be thin, but admits, when I was really skinny, I wanted to kill myself. I was miserable, like inside and out, for 4 years of my life. But no one cared because aesthetically, you make sense.
What?
Wow. Yeah. Some people love food. Like, they have a relationship with it. It's like an emotional thing.
Yeah.
So if you can figure out a balance of being able to figure out a balance of being able to eat what you want and work out, then it's good. But when you have to stop food and that's your crutch, it's depressing.
Yeah, but I mean, wanting to kill yourself because you were skinny.
Yeah, you never know what somebody else is going
through.
Because, like, you know, certain addicts go through withdrawals. Mm-hmm. Like, when you take certain things out of your system, like, some people handle it differently.
Well, moving on, when Kelly Clarkson burst onto the scene back in 2002, one of the biggest rivalries in pop had just begun the year before with the 2001 smash hit Lady Marmalade.
Oh. Yes, honey.
Honey, you had Pink, you had Christina Aguilera, you had Maya and Lil' Kim, and the fight came down to whose voice was going to be featured the most and who was going to get the high part. Which ultimately picked Christina versus Pink.
Oh, huh? Yes.
And Christina got it.
And from that point on, they hated each other and would go on to fight over songs throughout the years. And in a recent interview, Pink revealed that one time Christina actually tried to swing on her in a club.
What? Oh, she hardcore because Pink a little thick thing.
Yeah. She box you up
Pink
real
got a little
she
sure does. Pink that neck rolling. Is strong, honey. When somebody got a lower hair cutting their neck strong like that, you leave them type of women alone.
But I will sit there and let you punch them twice before you get mad.
So Pink says she didn't swing back, though, because she just thought it was hilarious and laughed in her face.
See, I told you she looked crazy.
Right. Pink did confirm that earlier this year, they finally ended their feud on The Voice of all places and said they ultimately just grew up and became moms, and they just hugged it out.
Aww. But if Pink would have swung on Christina Aguilera, she'd have put that genie back in the bottle.
And they're okay.
Speaking of divas, honey, let's talk about Miss Streisand, honey, a grand diva. Now, on an episode of Alec Baldwin's podcast, here's the thing, honey. Barbara revealed that she always knew that she was going to be Barbara.
Okay, Barbara.
Yes, bitch.
Hey, Barbara.
She said, honey, when she was around 16 years old, she would try to go to the theater as often as possible, but she couldn't really afford it.
Aww.
Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
She said, honey, she got a job as an usher so she could watch the plays, but said there was a problem.
What was it?
She said, quote, I knew that I would be famous, bitch, because I would hide my head so they wouldn't see me at my face showing them to their seats, because I thought, you know, when I become famous, they're going to recognize me as the girl who showed them to their seats.
You read that so dramatic,
oh,
Gary.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I was playing my violin in the back.
Yes, honey, that's Miss Streisand, honey.
Gary, you ever had anybody ever recognize you from Wendy's on the street?
No, not because since I'm here in Georgia, no, but if I was in Texas, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they recognize you when you go home from working at Wendy's?
A few people that I worked at Wendy's with.
You got to put those glasses back on.
Wow.
Like, if you put the glasses, you know, it's almost like Superman.
See, please, Lord, no.
You gave it to the With the glasses on, you gave from Wendy's.
I set those glasses on fire.
You should have. You should have rolled over them with your car.
Now you should appreciate them glasses.
The glasses caught on fire when the sun hit the lens. Thick.
Them glasses got you to where you are today.
They sure damn did.
Oh, and you still can't see.
I know.
All right, coming up, Oprah reveals the worst guest she ever had. Stay tuned. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Dish Nation. Yes, honey. All right, now, Oprah Winfrey has interviewed thousands of people throughout the years, and she recently sat down with Harry Connick Jr., who asked her if she had a least favorite guest.
She didn't say it, did she?
Well, she didn't reveal any specific names, but she did reveal her least favorite type of guest. The type of guest, when you ask them a question and they start talking about 1975, and then you think, oh, are we in 2017? How long is it going to take us to get to 2017? That's the worst. The other worst guests for me are those who think whatever they're talking about is so spectacular. And you know it's not. So my go-to word is always, wow. Like, wow, really?
Oh, so I'm going to have to listen for that now.
I've heard it a lot.
She'd be like, wow.
Yeah, she's like, really?
It seems like sometimes when you're watching her, it seems like she does kind of mentally check out.
Yes, yes.
You've heard every type of story at this point in your life. You're Oprah Winfrey.
Yes, wow.
Okay, so I interview some people with you guys, but on radio, you interview people a lot. Are there any specific type of guests that you all like the least?
Yes.
Okay, who?
People who come in here with no energy and also give, like, really lame one-word answers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people where you have to just, like, pull teeth to get them to answer a question.
Uh-huh.
And you're asking them the same question, and they still don't answer. It's like, okay, you know what? Just forget it. Like, you're boring. Get off the radio station.
Okay, so what's your go-to word? Like, Oprah has, like, wow. What about yours?
If I'm trying to transition out, I'd be like, all right, word. Okay. and then go into it.
Okay, what about you, Brad?
Same thing. Oh, okay, that's what's up. Okay.
Yeah, I have heard you say that.
Okay.
Gary, what's yours?
I'm trying to figure it out what it is. I mean, we sit and do interviews every week.
I think what you do is just check out if you don't want to hear it and then get ready to ask your shady question.
That's what.
There you do.
That's what
you only waiting.
Your shady
he
question.
Only waiting. He's not even listening to that. He waiting to answer ask his shady question.
Right. He can't wait to jump in to be like, so-and-so, tell us about the mess.
Right. Yeah. Now, I know you are beautiful and happy and single, but won't you just date a married man?
Right. How do you feel about him cheating on your girl?
Niece.
The results are in. A company called Party Casino has crunched the numbers from 1980 to 2017, and they know who the most profitable actor at the box office is.
The Rock.
Who?
No.
Denzel.
No.
Will Smith. Oh, Tyrese.
Tom Hanks.
No, man.
Brad Pitt.
This breaks down, like, what leading man had the biggest return for every $1 spent?
Okay.
Like, some of these people, like, actually get a lot of money to make movies, but do their movies make the money back?
There you go.
Investment good. And the one who's number one is going to shock y'all all.
Who is it? Clint Eastwood.
No. Emilio Estevez.
What? He ain't
Charlie no Sheen's
movie.
Brother.
Really?
Number one.
He made a movie?
Wait. You're doing on the percentage of the dollar that they make and a dollar made back. That doesn't mean that they got paid. He got big money.
Well, I'm saying, but the investment.
And it doesn't mean the movie made a whole lot of money either.
The investment that the movie company made in paying him whatever amount of money they may or may not have paid him was good for the overall amount of money that the movie made. So when you think back in the day, he was in Young Guns. He was in Mighty Ducks 1. I think there was a sequel. And so his work has generated $6.70 for every dollar that the movie company has spent. Let's talk about the ladies. They crunched the numbers for the past decade, and Rose Byrne, Regina Hall, and Octavia Spencer lead the pack.
See, really? Why yes, those make sense
up.
To me. All those make sense
me
to
too.
Me.
Well, Octavia Spencer, but I mean, Regina Hall?
I think these women aren't getting paid enough.
That's what it is.
All right, so don't go anywhere, because after the break, do you all have Loritophobia? Well, Adele does. Find out what she's afraid of and what the hell that is after the break.
I got you. Phobia.
Oh, that's cute.
Welcome back to Dish Nation, y'all. Okay, have no fear. I'm here to tell you that if you have any fears, you are not alone, because there are so many celebs out there that are just freaked out by some random
What's going on?
Take Adele, for example. She suffers from laridophobia, otherwise known as fear of seagulls.
How is that a thing? Like, what happened to where that's, like, something you're terrified of?
And how are you around that many seagulls to find out that it's a condition? Because if I see a big-ass seagull, they cute on the Nature Channel, but if I saw one in person, I'd be scared, too.
Exactly.
Aww. Seagulls are kind of little. Yeah.
Are they?
You're thinking pelicans.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the seagulls... Let me not describe the bird.
I don't like seagulls, whether they big, small, or tall.
Well, this stems because she was attacked by one as a child.
Oh.
She said, I was walking down the promenade eating an ice cream cone when this huge seagull came down and swiped it off me. I've still got scars from its claws on my shoulder. I thought it was going to take me away with it.
I would be scared, too. But I don't know if that's the condition. She got attacked. Like? She got jacked by a seagull.
Okay, well, Megan Fox says her thing is that she can't stand dry paper, a form of papyrophobia.
They need to stop.
No, that's damn it ridiculous. All paper is dry.
Well, in an interview with Jimmy Fallon, she said some people don't like nails across the chalkboard because it gives them goosebumps. I don't like dry paper, scripts, newspapers, or anything that's not laminated. And when she reads, she'll have a cup of water just to dip her fingers in it.
Oh, you know what? That's something true.
No, it
is. I've always been so afraid of paper cuts. I can only hold paper if it's a couple sheets where I know I'm not going to get cut. Mm-hmm. When people hand me, like, one or two papers, I don't take them. I'm like, I put them with...
that webbing?
Yes. And they burn all
day. They do. They burn worse than an open wound.
They sure do. Just shoot me. Don't paper cut me.
Child, and the list goes on. Tyra Banks has a fear of dolphins. Nicole Kidman is terrified of butterflies. Billy Bob Thornton is scared of antique furniture. And Matthew McConaughey hates revolving doors.
Really?
I hate antique furniture, too.
Why?
It's scary. They have... it has history and spirit and where it come from and was it a haunted house and I just don't like it.
So you like dolphins like Tyra don't like dolphins?
Dolphins?
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to swim with them. No, I'm not that. That's not me.
Because head crack taught us that they like to people.
Yeah, what?
Dolphins are very rapey.
A dolphin are rapey.
What?
Dolphins are the Cosby of the sea.
I had no idea.
Oh, God.
No wonder why the one time I did get in the water, a dolphin was over there with somebody else and then swam all the way over there with me and the one I was kissing.
He saw that ass.
Okay. I said, what you doing over here? I was like, get me out of here.
That one was like,
All right, honey, coming up after the break. Want to know what was in Osama bin Laden's video collection besides a ton of porn? We'll tell you next.
Dish Nation. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Dish Nation. You've made it to the end. Shout out to those commercials, huh? It's been a little over 6 years since the U.S. Navy SEALs killed Osama bin Laden. Now, ever since that happened, there's been a lot of fascination over the items that were seized from his crib because he was holed up in there for quite some time while he was hiding out with his family.
Mm-hmm.
So the CIA initially reported that they recovered a fairly extensive collection of porn. But despite countless requests, you know, they haven't released the titles or the amount of, you know, numbers that he had or even the nature of the type of porn that he had in his collection. But they did tell us, though, he did have a lot of animation. He had stuff like ants. You know, Cars was also in there. You know, Ice Age. You know, there was kids in the house, you know. There was Three Musketeers.
Okay.
The movie, not the bar. I think the bar was better. Also, Resident Evil was in there, as well as two documentaries. You got CNN's In the Footsteps of Bin Laden and Morgan Spurlock's Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden?
He had those two?
Yeah, so he's pretty well-versed in all things, you know, American
Osama
culture.
Bin Laden.
His entertainment library sounds so normal.
Now, I imagine there was way more porn than there were kiddie films.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, I can go with that.
Yeah, oh, my God, she's jihad. Jihad Hotties, Volume 1 through 9.
Jihad Hotties. That sounds like something you won't see.
Suicide Squad, a XXX parody. I'm just going off the cuff here.
Well, you got you know all the names, don't you?
I'm just making stuff up as I go. I don't know,
really.
Sure.
You sure sound well versed, head crack.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.